Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. It's time for NFLDraftScout.com's NFL Insider, Rob Rang. Brought to you by Chambers Bay Distillery, a local distillery owned and operated by two local guys, Alan and Jeff, where their mission is simple, to create uniquely extraordinary spirits. Now with Rob Rang, here's Ian Furness.
No, it's not Friday at 2:20. Your week's not almost over. It's just beginning.
Crack open a beer, folks. Time to crack open a beer. Pour yourself a Chambers Bay Distillery bourbon.
That's right. It's a Monday. It's not a Friday, but Rob Rang is with us because we wanted to get him on after going out there and checking in with the Seahawks and the rookies and the undrafted free agents and what's going on out there. How are you, Ranger?
I'm doing very well, Ian. Thanks for having me on, as always.
I appreciate it. Of course, our draft analyst did some great work this year with Fox Sports as their draft insider as well. Let's just go through the drafted guys first, and then I want to kind of pick your brain about guys that were undrafted and names we should know. And we'll start with, I guess he wants to be called now, D. D. Eskridge, formerly known as Dwayne Eskridge. Thoughts on what you saw?
You know, you just see the athletic ability just absolutely pops. I mean, there's a couple of times that during the scrimmages that the Seahawks looked to go deep with him. And, of course, the cornerback was Danny Etling, not Russell Wilson. But at the same time, you could just see Eskridge's just his immediate burst. And so he was able to get behind Trey Brown, Seattle's second drafted rookie this year. He was able to get behind basically everybody. There was one play that he did not react very well to the ball. It was a poorly thrown ball, and he had to kind of adjust and try to change the way he was running, and unfortunately dropped off his hands. And so that was the very first one. I thought, well, that's not a great way to make an impression. But he made a better play a few moments later for a long touchdown. It's the straight line speed. It's the agility. Our buddy Hugh Millen described it almost like a sewing machine with how quickly his feet chop. And I think that's a really good description because this guy really can change direction in a flash. He accelerates just as quickly. I will say this. I've been using the comparison to Antonio Brown in the past, and I think that he can be that kind of a player. I really do. But when you see him in person, this is a squattier, more physically powerful-looking guy. I mean, there's almost some Percy Harvin, or almost Golden Tate. He's got thighs like a running back. He's got a broad shoulders like a running back. I can understand why he played running back at all throughout his junior high and high school career, because he has the physicality and the size to be able to kind of just not only run around and by defenders, but to bulldoze right through them as well.
Was he matched up with Brown quite a bit?
I don't know if quite a bit, but I definitely saw some opportunities where they were matched up one-on-one. I know that on the touchdown, I believe it was against Trey Brown. And Brown looked pretty good as well. His change of direction is impressive. He played a lot of the outside, but still, there's just nobody on the field could run with Eskridge. I mean, it was Brown was able to basically stay in the hip pocket of just about anybody that was out there. But Eskridge, he just has a different level of speed, and he's a pretty savvy route runner too. He's not just a straight line guy. He sets up people. He kind of adjusts his shoulders and kind of does some body leans and things, and then just can plant his foot and explode. And they did have some one-on-one matchups. And it was funny because some of the guys in the media were asking Eskridge about that, the fact that he and Brown had been lined up against each other going back to the Senior Bowl as well. So they've got quite the budding little rivalry going. I think it's going to be just absolutely crucial for both of their developments as rookies this year for the Seahawks.
Rob Rang, Fox Sports, our draft insider here on Sports Radio 950 KJR, brought to you by Chambers Bay Distillery, makers, of course, of Ghost Dog Whiskey, the Ron Vodka, and their award-winning bourbons as well. Rob, when you watched Trey Brown, Seattle's second pick in the draft, did you see a guy that looks like a boundary corner? Or did you see a guy that looks more like a nickel?
It's an interesting question, Ian, because I still think that when I think of the Seahawks, I still think of those longer arm guys on the outside, and I think that that's going to be the exception rather than the rule, like what we saw with DJ Reed a year ago. I think that that he can play that outside position. But to me, one of the things I like most about Trey Brown on tape, and I went back and watched some more tape on him after Seattle made that selection, because I was just stunned when they made that pick, just because we know what they've always prioritized. I just think that his game translates better to that slot position because he is physical. I thought his most impressive play was, I can't remember if it was a jet sweep or if it was a screen or something like that, but he jumped up really quickly up to the line of scrimmage, and you're not supposed to tackle, of course, in these mini camps and things like that, but he lowered his shoulder into the whoever the ball carrier was, and I mean, and it was a much bigger man, and he stopped in a blink. It's that type of physicality, that type of kind of wherewithal and awareness. You don't have to have that if you're playing on the boundary. So I think that he can play that position. That's the position that he played the most. And certainly, who am I to question? If Pete Carroll is a defensive backs coach long before he ever was a head coach, if he thinks that's where Trey Brown lines up best, the Seahawks have had such remarkable success on day two, day three, undrafted guys, and molded them into exactly the corners they think. But what I see of Trey Brown is I see a guy I think that fits in best at that nickel corner, and I just think that position is so critically important today that that's not slight. I think that that's actually a good thing, because I think that you look at some of the receivers that are in the NFC West, that's where some of the scariest receivers in this division play.
Rob Rank joining me. Stone Forsythe, their third and final draft pick. Big guy, like 6'7", 6'8", 3'10", or something like that. Maybe a tackle of the future for them. Feels like a little bit more of a project player. What'd you see from him?
I was intrigued. With Trey Brown and with Eskridge, they both played on Friday, and I wasn't able to attend that practice. This was Forsythe's first game or first action for the Seahawks, and so I know there was some of the beat writers I was kind of talking to and picking their brains about what did I miss on Friday. Nobody saw anything from Forsythe on Friday, and so I felt like I was kind of in the catbird seat being able to watch him, and was really impressed by him. And I was impressed by him on tape as well. I thought that he would be a candidate for them in the fourth round, where of course they took Trey Brown. I just see a guy who at 6'8", and as you mentioned, I think he's 320 pounds. He's just incredibly light on his feet for such a big man. I mean, Curtis Crabtree and I were kind of joking as we watched him warm up and everything about, just how good looking he is for 320 pounds. I mean, there's not many people who can carry that weight and just look as trim as he does. I mean, this guy might have a six pack. He is just, just an incredible looking athlete for that weight. And he's really light on his feet. And he did a great job in pass protection. You know, with run blocking, it's kind of hard during this time, because you can't really get that physical. And that had been one of his challenges at Florida. But I think that he is a project. But it's a project that you have a great deal of confidence that this isn't some guy playing in a small school. I mean, he was playing at Florida. You know, Florida is the only team that gave Alabama really much of a run last year, and he did it the last couple of years. So I think that he is a project that is one that has a huge, huge upside to him. And I think that he could be able to contribute earlier than a lot of people are expecting. You just probably aren't going to need him because you have a perennial Pro Bowler in Dwayne Brown. And I do mention that because he played, I think, exclusively at left tackle for Seattle. And so that's one thing I think is interesting, is they did not move him back and forth in other positions the way they did with one of the other similarly built offensive linemen, a free agent, Greg Island from Mississippi State. He got time at left tackle, I believe some snaps at right tackle, definitely some snaps at left guard. And so they were moving him around, whereas with Forsythe, they were keeping at that left tackle position. I think they very much believe that he has a chance to be the heir apparent to Brown at left tackle.
Before I let you go, and I'm gonna, in the interest of time, I'm gonna pick your brain. I'm gonna have you on. We'll have you on normal time Friday. I want to go through all the undrafted free agents. I know one guy in particular didn't play this weekend, which is a bummer. But I want to go through that list of undrafted free agents with you on Friday and just kind of go through some guys that jumped out at you. We're not gonna have time for that today, so we'll do that Friday, our normal time at 2:20. One final thing before we let you go, Daryl Taylor. Nelves, he's back. He didn't play at all last year. We know this. Last year, second round pick. He's you know, supposed to be an elite pass rusher, and they're using him more as a linebacker. You know, I've heard Cliff Averill's name mentioned in terms of body type. It feels to me like there's a Bruce Irvin element here as well. What'd you see from Daryl Taylor?
Yeah, I like the Bruce Irvin, you know, kind of comparison a little bit more. He's just a leaner kind of a guy, and that's not any kind of knock on Cliff Averill by any way. But I just thought that he looked like the Energizer Bunny out there. He looked so excited to be back out there on the field, as he should be, but he just moves around at a different level than everybody else. I mean, it's kind of like Eskridge. You know, just every, you know, you see these guys who are good football players, good athletes. He's both. He does have the ability to play either that edge rusher role or drop back in space. Just in two or three steps, he is able to get what most of the other guys are doing in five or six steps. He just really has a long gait to him. He's just balanced and changes direction so well. They had one pass rushing drill where he got so low. I used the expression before, he corners like a street bike. I mean, he does. It's just fun to watch him because, you know, when you have a really long-armed kind of tall guy like a Stone Forsythe that we talked about, 6'8", 35-inch arms, I mean, it's just really hard to get around him. Guys like Taylor can because they can get so low, and they just are able to kind of wrap that edge. And so I know that he can play that linebacker position, and I know that because he did it at Tennessee. I also know that he can rush the quarterback. And so to me, the Bruce Irvin comparison is a really good one, buddy, because that's exactly what they asked the Bruce Irvin to do for them. Play that strong side linebacker role and drop back in space at times, as well as pin your ears back and rush the passer. It used to be on third down. Now it's just about every down. I think that positional versatility is going to make Daryl Taylor absolutely one of the most exciting Seahawks this year.
You're the best, my man. We'll check in with you Friday and go through the undrafted guys, all right?
Looking forward to it.
There you go. That's Rob Rang, brought to you by our good friends at Chambers Bay Distillery. Chambers Bay Distillery, of course, makers of the Ron Vodka, the award-winning bourbons, the Ghost Dog Whiskey as well.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.